Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Beyond the Optics podcast with your host, Tulip Nandu. I'm a computational biologist at UT Southwestern Medical Center, an avid traveler, a blogger, and now a podcast host. Similar to my role as a researcher, which expects me to take an in-depth look at the projects I'm working on, I'm also curious to go beyond the optics for everything that is happening around and to leverage that knowledge to challenge the status quo and think from a different perspective. This podcast is an attempt by me to put the information out there and spark a curiosity amongst the listeners to go beyond the optics and not take the material they are fed at face value. As Mother's Day fast approaches, there are many things a mom looks forward to. But this time round, I urge the listeners to encourage them to a different kind of a gift, the gift of health and well-being. Mother's Day marks the kickoff of National Women's Health Week, designed for women across the nation to make their health a top priority and take simple steps to live safer and healthier lives. Women are a foundation to a healthier world, yet for decades their health has been neglected, and there has been a need to increase this awareness about women's health. Some sobering facts about women's health. Every 2 minutes, a woman dies during pregnancy or childbirth. In the US alone, the maternal mortality rate is highest of all developed nations, and over 80% of pregnancy-related deaths are considered preventable. For far too long, women's health issues have been underfunded, under-researched, and underserved.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Optics podcast with Tulip Nandu. Today, we'll be discussing some important aspects of women's health. And with me, I have Ms. Mala Mahindru. She's a faculty at UT Southwestern Medical Center. So welcome, Mala. And before we proceed, if you can give a small introduction of what research you do and what your position is at UT Southwestern Medical Center.
All right. Thank you, Tula, for that introduction and this opportunity to speak. So I'm a professor at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. And my research, I'm a reproductive biologist, and my research has focused on trying to answer the question that are critical to pregnancy and a major complication of pregnancy, which is preterm birth. And the research in my lab has focused specifically on the cervix. We want to understand how this structure undergoes a remarkable transformation from a closed structure to one that can open sufficiently during the birth process, and also to understand how this happens at the right time when the baby is ready for life in the outside of the womb. And so our work focuses to look at molecular events that are critical for this and to understand what goes wrong to cause premature birth.
Perfect. So speak about women's health. I feel from the research perspective, you're kind of the best person to talk to. So coming to the critical aspects like women health in the age of AI, and we are still talking about this, don't you think it should be natural and just come naturally?
Well, I definitely, agree that, it would seem like we should know much more than we currently do. But, as to your question, why is it important? Well, I guess I would start with half the population are women. So I think that makes one important reason why we should study it and understand it better. Also, women are the half of the population that bear children, and we know from much work that has already been done that a woman's health can ultimately impact the health of the pregnancy and the baby during that very important developmental process. So in some ways, studying women's health is not only important for women, but also for all future generations.
Such a critical aspect, and it's so often overlooked. So why do you think it's overlooked by people and by society in general? And it's across the world, developing countries, societies, even in developed countries. Some facts that I talk about in my prelude to this podcast are scathing facts. So why do you think it's so often overlooked?
Yeah, I guess there are many reasons. Some could be unique to certain cultures or areas. Some maybe are worldwide. But I guess maybe one reason when I think from a research perspective, it's women's biology is complicated. It changes over the life of women. So what may be relevant to a young reproductive age woman is probably different to a older postmenopausal woman. So studying this and understanding all the nuances is not easy. I think if we sort of walk away from the research, we should also appreciate that just how women respond to stress or other factors can vary from men. And I think in most cultures, women are the designated caretakers, right? So they care for others. And sometimes women themselves forget that they also need to care for themselves. So I think it's not just what others are doing to women, but we as, you know, just the natural tendencies to be caretakers also forget that we need to try better to care for ourselves.
Sure. Is there a gender inequality in healthcare from the healthcare perspective or from the healthcare funding that goes into? Do you think there is inequality into the investments or the awareness that probably male gender receives is much higher than the female, or how is it?
No, I definitely agree that there are gender inequalities. This can span from the amount of funding that is put into research. There, you know, I was alluding to the fact that many diseases, you know, for example, heart disease, it's the number one killer of women and men. Yet we know that the pathways and the causes and the responses in you know, heart disease, are very distinct in women and men. But much of that research is done using men, and then we extrapolate those findings and assume those drugs or those pathways will be the same in women, and that's not always the case. So, and then we've talked about differences in the level of funding for research that may focus specifically on issues that are related to women. And then healthcare, you know, inequalities, just in the, there's some, you know, research that has been done and sort of gender bias, even like in pain management and how women respond to pain versus how men respond, and studies that show that some doctors may, you know, have biases in how they approach that if a man comes versus women. And there's some growing literature in this area. So I think there are biases at many levels that need to be addressed.
So as you alluded to the heart issues, that's a perfect segue to my final couple of questions into the specifics. What are some of the common women health issues that you've seen from the research perspective or also from the clinical side of the things that women have and that are needed of better management?
Sure. So again, there one just looks at sort of the top killers of women. I mean, heart disease and cancer, but when we talk about cancer, many are unique to women, you know, cancers of the reproductive tract, and those definitely are in need of more research, more funding for research. And secondly, the research in areas of maternal health during pregnancy. There is, you know, work being done both from the baby side and the mother side, but it's now more appreciated that there are many complications that happen during pregnancy to a mom that then impact her future health. And these are related to things like high blood pressure and heart disease. So these are not just things that are involved with the reproductive tract that go on to impact other aspects. So again, you know, I think these are important issues, you know, and, you know, it's all, I do think there's some exciting things happening in sort of the tech space, this a whole new area that's called femtech. This was a term that was coined in, I think, 2016 by a Danish woman who developed an app that helps women to, I think, monitor their menstrual cycle But this has sort of developed into a really big industry where they're on top entrepreneurs who are trying to develop, whether it's medical devices or smartphone apps or other sorts of technologies to help come up with solutions that may address specific issues in women's health, whether it be mental health, reproductive health, beginning some in sort of cardiovascular health. So I think this is sort of an exciting area that I hope will grow and you know, help not just men, but women and children.
Definitely. So solutions, we have the problems, we know what the problems are. So as a society or as an individuals, like, how do we improve women's health and the awareness of it?
Well, I would start with, I guess, people like you who are trying to raise awareness by having conversations. I think that is fantastic. I think from the research side, increased funding. Also, another important area is, you know, as there are drugs being developed and you know, clinical trials have to be done to test these drugs, and historically, many of these trials have not always included women, or they have not included pregnant women or women of different ages. So I think having clinical trials that really embrace this idea that the age or the stage of the lifespan or a pregnant woman versus non-pregnant, that drugs and how they work are very different. So I think a better design and clinical trials that appreciates these nuances is critical.
As individuals, we improve our conversation is one thing. And from the research side, obviously, the funding. So anything as a woman that, say, if we outreach women in developing countries or in developed countries too, what do they need to do themselves?
Right. Yeah. So also just, you know, they should, you know, take the time to be educated. What and you know, speak up and be aware that there are biases, whether it be when you go to the doctor or in other ways, and just be your own advocate. I think that is you know, an important aspect. I tell my daughters too, I like, go do your research and go ask questions when you go, you know, to the doctor. It's important not to just listen and not say anything. Another thing that I actually had forgotten I wanted to touch upon is we should appreciate that our health is, it's not just our genes, our biology, or what we eat, but there are other factors in the environment that impact our health, whether it be stress. And this stress can be, you know, in cases of people of color, it can be in the racial inequalities and so forth, and all of these impact our health. So doing what we can from our side to appreciate that we need to find ways to deal with stress is important. Also, just what not only what we put into our mouths when we eat, but the products that we use. A lot of research now is showing that, you know, even in the cosmetic industry and other consumable products, that these all can impact our health. So, you know, be careful what you use, limit, you know, less is more in this regard.
Yeah, perfect. So I hope this conversations keep happening, and it is wonderful to have you and put a light on the, not only the factors that are affecting women's health, but also the solutions part of it. And hopefully the next time we have the conversation, there's more positivity and there's less of this negative connotation that's there for the women's health. Thank you so much, Mala, for being on the pod and having this wonderful conversation.
Well, thanks to us for the opportunity. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for staying till the end and listening to the podcast. I hope you have enjoyed as much as I have bringing it to you. Please share it with your family and friends who would want to use this information to challenge the status quo and think from a different perspective. For more bite-sized information, follow me on Twitter at @TulipSNandu. And to receive interesting take on current topics, subscribe to my newsletter at tulip.substack.com. Until next time, go beyond the optics, friends.